You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning, everybody. Man, happy Resurrection Sunday. Isn't it good to be here? It is. I'm so thankful for all that God is doing and all that he has done. And I'll tell you this, that was an illustration of just the gospel. And the gospel is filled with defining moments. And today I want to talk to you about that. Is that okay? Defining moments, man. We all are in need of a defining moment and moments that define us, right? And I could tell you that, man, I've had my share of defining moments, but I think it's really cool, and this is not gospel-centered, and it has nothing to do with, I don't think it has anything to do with with Jesus, but last week, what happened at the Masters? Tiger Woods, right? Defining moment. Wasn't that cool? That was really cool. It was cool to see that Tiger win the Masters and see that happen. That was a defining moment in his life and in his career. And here's the truth, man. I mean, the truth is that health problems, personal issues, divorce, his moral lapse, like we've all had, right? I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying that it was just cool to see him win after 14 years, a major. You know what I'm saying? And to see him do that again. And I can tell you this, I don't know where Tiger is with his faith. I do believe God uses good things and challenging things to try to get our attention, to try to wake us up, to try to reveal himself to us. I was listening this week to someone else, my favorite actor of all time. Guys, you're going to agree with me. I know you will, right? You always agree with me for the most part, right? Chris is shaking his head. Yes, Chris and I never disagree. Denzel Washington, right? One of my all-time favorite actors, right? Well, he was speaking at a commencement ceremony here in the last year. And here's what he was taught. Here's what he shared. He was talking about how he was flunking out of college. And he had a 1.75 GPA. And one day he was sitting in his mom's beauty parlor. And Denzel said every time he would look up, there was this woman who was staring at him through the mirror. And he would see her. And it was kind of spooking him out. And he looked down and looked back up. This woman was just staring at him, right? And he looked down and looked back up. And Denzel was going through a really difficult time. He didn't know if he was going to continue in college or continue to move forward. He was thinking about joining the military. He didn't know what he was going to do. But he found himself sitting in this chair in his mom's beauty parlor. And this woman was staring at him. And finally, the woman said, "Give me a pen. I have a prophecy." And she spoke this prophecy over Denzel. She says, "You're going to travel the world and you are going to speak to millions of people," of which he has done both, has he not? He has done both. And Denzel said, she went on to say this, that Denzel, son, if you stick with God, he will protect you and he will direct you. And Denzel, he shared in this commencement ceremony that I've fallen short many, many times. But I can tell you, God has stuck by me, and he's protected me, and he's directed me. And that for Denzel, just like it was for Tiger, it was a defining moment. And there was someone else who had a defining moment, and that many of us, all of us know, Billy Graham. Billy Graham speaking to millions upon millions of people, revivals where hundreds of thousands of people were saved. Billy Graham had a defining moment early on in his ministry. Early on in his ministry, he struggled with faith, just like you and I. He struggled with believing the Word of God as it is and as it's written. And he reached this point in his early ministry where he was not going to be able to continue to give messages without him coming to the conclusion if the scriptures were true or if they were not true. And so one day he was in the woods. In the woods was where he would go, write his messages and spend time with God and to pray. And he had a stump. There was a stump where he would go and he would practice and he would pray and he would spend time with God. And at this one particular defining moment for Billy Graham, God came to him and spoke to him. And he said this to him. He said to him to believe the word of God and believe it by faith. And filled with the Spirit, Billy Graham surrendered his life to God. He surrendered his faith to God. And he believed from that point forward. He chose to believe that the Bible was true. And after that, that's when the revivals broke loose. That's when his ministry became public. That's when the LA revivals occurred, and it began to spread all across the country. And from that point forward, he spoke to millions of people with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people saved. Isn't that cool? Praise God for defining moments. Folks, these are the kind of moments that God wants to bring to your life. I also have shared my opportunities for defining moments. And the truth is that all of us wouldn't be here today if there wasn't a defining moment in your life. You can look at your moments. You can look at back in your life, and you can recognize and look back and see how God moved you from one chapter to the next, how God moved you, how God's hand has been on your life, and how he has helped you move through life. And you can recognize how God has defined you through those times. And I want to tell you this morning that I believe that we are all here in need of a defining moment. God has given me my fair share of defining moments. I remember in college, and when I was back home all through high school, everyone thought of me as Church Boy Ryan. Everyone. And I remember driving to college, headed to Kansas, right there in Olathe, Kansas, just outside of Kansas City, Kansas. And I remember driving there my first time, and I said, you know what? I don't want to be the Church Boy Ryan. And you know what? I wasn't. And people there saw me differently than people did here. Matter of fact, when they found out years later that I was in the ministry, they're like, he's in the ministry? My goodness. That's the honest truth. And here's the truth. The truth is that I reached a point at the end of my college days. It was graduation. We had this all of the kids that were graduating. We all filled this chapel service. And Alan Thompson, our chaplain, he said, I would like for 5 students to come up here and pray a prayer of blessing over your colleagues. Pray a prayer of blessing over your fellow students. And I would like for you to come and do that. And he asked all of us. And there was a bunch of people in that room. It was huge. And for some reason, just like the old days, the Lord, just like at church camps that I experienced, just like when I was 4 years old, I just felt like God wanted me to go up there. And I remember wrestling with that because I thought, I have not lived a good testimony. My life has not reflected one of which that would be deserving to go up there and say a prayer. And yet God was on me. And I remember walking down that center aisle, and I remember getting up front, and I remember being the last one to pray. And I remember starting to pray, and I remember praying, and I remember how cold and how impotent and how just flat it felt. Nothing like I had ever experienced before. And I knew that something was missing, big time, in my life. And I knew that my testimony was not what God wanted it to be. And I remember shortly after that, I went back home, and I went back to our home church, and there was an interim pastor named Pastor Charles Sumner, and he was given this message, and through that service and in that message, God began to speak to me again, and he began to woo me, and he began to call me out, and he asked me to surrender my life to Christ, to surrender all of my life to him, to be willing to do whatever it was that God wanted me to do. And I remember I came forward, it was on the left side of that sanctuary, and back then we had altars, folks. You remember those? You can laugh if you like. But there was really no laughing matter. We had these places where you prayed, and things have changed a little bit. But the truth is, I remember going, I remember kneeling down, and I remember praying, and these men would pray over me. And I remember at that point, something happened, something changed in my life. I remember God filling me. I remember something happening. It was a defining moment where I just surrendered my life to Christ like I'd never surrendered to him before. And from that point forward, God began to bless my little Sunday school classes. God began to bless the things that I was doing. He began to lead me into ministries and do different things. God opened up all kinds of doors for me. It was a defining moment, moments in my life. God has blessed me with defining moments. God wants to bless us with defining moments. This past week, Beth and I, and it was just a kind of a kooky thing, but we wound up in South Beach. Imagine that. Beth and I went to Miami, and we were there. And it was started out to be a work trip, and it turned out that that wasn't what it was. I decided not to go, and Beth and I spent 4 or 5 days in South Miami, and we were there. And that was where Beth and I spent our honeymoon. A good part of our honeymoon was in Miami. And I was thinking about the message for today, I remember the defining moment on my honeymoon with Beth. Beth and I were sitting on the beach, and it was night. We were listening to the waves, and we were just praying. And God came, and God spoke to me, and he gave me this verse that he gave me. And I remember Beth was there, and she can witness to it. This verse that she gave me just totally transformed the way that I began to think about my ministry and about my work. God did something. And I'm honest to goodness, I would not be here today had it not been for that defining moment with my wife on the beach. And I remember this week, God brought all that back to me. And by coincidence, we were there in that same place that we were there 18 years ago. I told Beth, I said, you know, another 18 years and I'm going to be like 68. It's pretty nutty. Actually, it's a little older than that. 70. Yeah, I'm doing my arithmetic wrong. So we don't have very many more of these left. But it was a defining moment for us. This week, we were able to pray and connect and do what God was calling us to do. It was just wonderful how God brings defining moments to our life. God wants to bring a defining moment to all of us. Defining moments are moments that change the trajectory of your life. They move you from one chapter to another. And there are times that set themselves up for us to realize there is change about to occur. I would say you have had moments like these or you wouldn't be here today. And I would also say this. I would also say that there is not one person in here this morning that is in need of a defining moment. God wants to give you a defining moment. The burden that I have is that we die in the same chapter. Many of our chapters have gone way too long, folks. God is calling us to move on. He's calling us to do something new. He's calling us to awaken to what he has for us. I believe that we all need a defining moment. And the challenge that we have is that we do not recognize them. What if God is desperately trying to get your attention and we're so occupied in our own struggles that we miss the opportunity to move above and beyond it? What if? What if the things that you're dealing with at work? What if the brokenness that you're having to experience? What if the diagnosis, you're so focused on that diagnosis as anyone would be in their natural state, that you miss what God wants you to know? I think we get so occupied with work, so occupied with our struggle, so occupied with the challenges and everything that's going on around us. God, help us, I pray. There is one report about these two guys, these two dudes. They were walking down this road, and it was on this day, some 2,000 plus years ago, and they wanted to bring attention. And they wanted to bring, and God wanted to bring attention to them and their situation. And here's the truth. They have a whole lot in common with you and I. Let's look at it. Luke 24, 13 through 34. Here's what it says. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. But God kept them from recognizing him. Folks, they didn't recognize him. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short. Sadness was written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here the last 2 days, or last few days. Recognition. Jesus says, "What things?" They didn't recognize. Jesus asked them, "What things?" Drawing it out of them. What things? Folks, things happen. There are things that happen in our life. Some of your things you have no control over. They just happened. Other things are things that you can't help. Things happen. Things that we bring up on ourselves, but there's also those things that we don't bring up on ourselves. We're just victim of those things. And we struggle with those challenges. I know there are some incredible challenges here this morning. Stuff that has happened that you do not know where to turn. And many of you here this morning look at your situation and you think there are no answers. There's no hope. Things look pretty stinking dark. Friday night communion, we had communion on Good Friday. And in that communion service, and it's one of my favorite nights here at Shelter, and many of you were here. We come in and we just bring in one segment, or there's one session at a time, and they last about 10, 15 minutes, and we do a scripture reading and some different things, and then we serve each individual family, all of the pastoral staff, one family at a time. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And in that, we're talking about Good Friday. Folks, there was a whole lot of bad things that Jesus had to go through to get to Good Friday, for us to call it Good Friday. A whole lot of things. Things happen. Bad things happen. Many of us are struggling with those things, those kinds of things. In this case, this account, this report, by the way, when you read something in the Gospels, it's not just a story, folks, is it? It's not a story. It's a report. It's an account. It's something that's very, very true. Something that's newsworthy. Not fake news. It's real news. Okay? And when you get that real news, that real news, that good news, something in you happens and changes. It's an opportunity to experience a defining moment. And you see this happen for these guys. These guys were walking down this road. It was about a 6 to 7 mile strip. And here's what happened. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth explained, because Jesus, they're answering Jesus' question. Keep in mind, they did not recognize Jesus, much like you and I. They didn't recognize that it was Jesus walking with them. Here's what's interesting. I think that many of us don't recognize Jesus walking with us. We don't see Jesus in our trials. We don't see Jesus in our struggles. We don't see Jesus with all of the stuff that we're having to go through. We don't see that he's there. These guys did not see that he was there. And Jesus asked them, "What things?" And then these two guys begin to tell the story. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago, they said. 3 days ago. I think it's interesting in the account, in the gospel account, in the good news as we read it, time is of the essence. Time is very significant. Significant times are what we're reading about here, folks. And what you're dealing with is just as significant. The times that you're going through right now are very, very significant. God references time throughout Scripture. For some of us, time is the times that we're going through is very challenging. Here's the truth. The truth is that time is not guaranteed, is it? The truth is that our days are numbered. That's the truth. Just talk to a guy that comes for service. He's someone that we've helped for years and years. Someone that was homeless. We found him living in the back of a Kroger. Back in, behind a Kroger's. In the woods. For 7-8 years, he has been a part of the shelter. And he would come, and he would walk. And he gets coffee. He sits in the back first service. And he leaves before all of you come. And this morning he shared with me that he has cancer. He also shared with me that he's willing to be baptized. Powerful story. We don't know, and Rex told me this morning, our time is not guaranteed. Your time is not guaranteed. But what is guaranteed is that God wants to bless you with a defining moment. A defining moment. And we see this in this passage of Scripture. We see God begin to move. We see Jesus begin to work. It says here in verse 20, or it says here in verse 25, then Jesus said to them, after they were telling him this account, they still didn't recognize that it was Jesus, and they said to him, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scripture the things concerning himself." Now they did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus, he wasn't beating them over the head when he said, "You foolish people." He wasn't beating them over the head or punching them in the face. What he was saying was he was trying to get their attention. Perhaps he's trying to get our attention this morning. "You foolish people," me included, right? "Don't you believe everything that has been written in the scriptures?" Verse 28, by this time they were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it is getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Knowing him not, they partook. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread, he blessed it, then he broke the bread and he gave it to them. Verse 31, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. He disappeared, but they recognized who was with them. God, help us this morning to recognize that you are with us. My prayer today is that you recognize him. My prayer is that you recognize what he's done in your life. My prayer is that you recognize what the scripture is saying. My prayer is that you recognize your troubles and you understand that your troubles do not have to define you. This message out of the scripture is a defining moment that applies to all of us, just as it applies to the two that were walking this Emmaus walk. Folks, this whole idea of Resurrection Sunday, this whole idea of Easter Sunday, the reason that we're here is because we believe that Jesus died and Jesus arose from the dead. And upon that resurrection, he gives us all an opportunity to have a defining moment. God, help us. Verse 32, they said to each other, Didn't our hearts burn with us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 disciples and the others who gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Folks, defining moments. They begin with a belief and are followed up with an experience. They begin with a belief and are followed with an experience. God help us this morning to believe. Here's the truth. The truth is that God gives us this wonderful gift, and this wonderful gift is called free will. And that free will is just simply this. You are free to choose to believe or not believe. God gives you that. Your parents can't make you believe. Your spouse can't make you believe. Your children can't make you believe. A brother or a sister or friend can't make you believe. The truth is that all of us reach a point where we can choose to believe in Jesus or not. And in believing, a part of that belief is that Jesus died and he arose from the dead. And through that power of the resurrection, we in our own situations, troubles and struggles, we can come alive in those as well. God wants to bring you to life. He wants to raise you above whatever it is that you're dealing with. God help us this morning. Here's what's cool. In Romans 10:9, it starts out, and Paul writes this, and he says this. He says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be," what? "Saved." God, thank you for that. Think of this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And God, guys, that salvation is not just the hereafter. It's all that and more. The bonus plan is that God wants to save you now. Think about that bonus plan, baby. Think about that. God offers you a bonus plan. It's not just say, praise God, it is. He saves us from death, hell, and the grave. And we can look forward. Rex can look forward to what's to come. Even though he may die in the flesh, he can come alive in the spirit because we serve a God that came alive. And that same power that arose Jesus from the dead is the same power that raises us and helps us come alive in him. Helps us rise above our struggles. Helps us rise above our brokenness. Helps us rise above the crap that we've dealt with for all these years. The struggle, the turmoil, the conflict. God, help us. God sees you where you're at. He sees you. And the truth is that God has probably, no, that's not right. God has always been there by your side. We believe in what's called this thing called prevenient grace. Well, what is that, Ryan? I'm really interested. Prevenient grace is this grace that comes before. Folks, it's a grace that comes before, meaning it's a grace that comes before we ever are worthy of it. It comes to us after we've done horrendous things. It comes to us when we, in our struggles and turmoils and in our sin. The prevenient grace of God comes to us and gives us an opportunity to choose Jesus. And this says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It also says, for it is by believing in your heart that you For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced, folks. Jew or Gentile, that includes me right there. I'm not a Jew, but I'm a Gentile, are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone, verse 13, say it with me, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. That is you. That is us. God wants to save you. God, come and save us. God, save us now. Save us from our heartache. Save us from our hurt. Save us from our pain. Save us, God. I pray that you would save us. I pray that not one person would leave here today without being saved. Praise God. I can tell you that my defining moments came by hearing about the grace of God. My defining moments came through the teaching and hearing of this word, of these accounts in the scriptures of how there's this God who loved me in spite of my sin and wanted more than anything to be in relationship with me. And more times than I can account for, God came and God helped me. God in this shows my age, folks. But in 49 years, God has never failed me. He's never let me down. Have I been frustrated? Absolutely. Have I been mad? Oh, you better believe it. Have I thrown fits, thrown things? Hit signs and all kinds of crazy things. Not with my car, but my hand. Just do stupid stuff. When something would not go right, or when my friend was killed, or when things would happen and stuff would go down and things that were not right. Yes. But God was always there. He never let me down. God will never let you down. He stands beside you. He wants to walk with you in your recovery. He wants to bring you through. He wants to heal you and help you. He wants you, folks, to have a defining moment. So as we close, I am not going to assume. I'm just going to truly believe that there is not one person in this room today who is in need of a defining moment. I believe we all need it. I believe we all need to be reminded that just as Jesus arose from the dead, we can be made alive in our situation as well. And I am believing that you need it as much as I need it. And I believe that today is a defining moment for all of us. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm not going to call anyone out, but I'm going to ask those of you who are willing by your choice and free will to pray a prayer with me, asking God for a defining moment, that you will. And here's the prayer. I don't want to read a prayer and you not know it. So I'm going to read it first. And then I'm going to ask you to pray it if you're willing. It just says this. Father, I need a defining moment in my life. May this be that moment. Lord, I recognize it all starts with not what I do, but what I believe. And Lord, on this day, I choose to believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and he arose from the dead. And I believe through you, Jesus, I can be saved. Save me now. That's what we're going to pray. I believe that there's not one person here in need of that. So those that are willing and everyone, not to put anyone on the spot, but everyone stand. And those that are willing, you pray this prayer with me. Pray it with me. Father, I need a defining moment in my life. And may this be that moment. Lord, I recognize it all starts with not what I do, but what I believe. And Lord, on this day, I choose to believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and he arose from the dead. And I believe through you, Jesus, that I can be saved. Save me now. Amen. Give yourselves and give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Folks, I'm telling you, man, do not remain in the same chapter you've been in. Recognize that Jesus is walking with you. Recognize that he knows your pain. He knows your struggle. Recognize that whatever it is that we deal with here on earth, Jesus experienced the same. The same feelings, the same emotions. And recognize that he paved a way for you because he loved you. And because he did not want you to get stuck. He did not want you to die in your sin. He did not want you to die in your struggle, to die in your disease, to die in your addiction. He did not want you to remain where you're at. He has something so much more. Father, I bless these people. Thank you for bringing them here today. We are honored they're here. I pray that you will help them, that you will bless them, that we all will share in this defining moment. And may this be a defining moment for the Shelter Community Church. Amen? Amen. Amen. May it be a defining moment for our community. God, move out of this building, God, and begin to reach the hurting, the dying, the empty, and the lost. May the message of defining moments and the message of your resurrection power, God, be shared with those that need to know it, who have no hope and are lost. In Jesus' name. Hey, there's cards. You guys all have cards in your weeklies. Look, folks, in 2 weeks, maybe you want to give testimony of your defining moment by being baptized. In 2 weeks, we will have a baptism service. I want you to fill that out on that card and drop that in those giving boxes in the back and the back walls. If you want to be baptized, if you need to be baptized, if you feel it in you, just like I've felt it all. I've felt this so many times, God moving me and prompting me. And when I act upon it, man, I know and see the blessing that happens. And I know that there's blessing that comes from it. If you'd like to be baptized, if you'd like the staff, the pastors to know and the prayer team to know what your struggle is, write that on that card so we can pray for you. So we can continue to pray that God would move and God would be visibly present or just present in your life and helping you through. We're honored that you're here. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.